Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Glory. It's good to be home. I want to start off with this. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And there's not enough of it. I run into too many believers that don't work out their salvation with fear and trembling. And it's disheartening. Still touching unclean things, still doing what they feel is best for them. Really not seeking the Lord, or they wouldn't be doing the things they do. See, they pray but don't obey. I want you to know something. What God gives us here is phenomenal. It's not because of a man. It's not because of a ministry. It's because of the Spirit. And much is given, much is required. For him who knows much, much is required. That means we should walk in more fear and trembling than anyone else. I was around individuals that have been believers for a while, and I was amazed at their ignorance, not knowing really what's happening. There are those who do. There are those who are like-minded, but then there are those who are not like-minded. See, Jesus is their Savior, but not their Lord. And there's a difference, a tremendous difference. And I'm seeing it all over, and I wanted to first start off with that scripture. You better work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I'm sensing, this happened before, and I've seen it manifest, that there's a move of the Spirit that his presence will be stronger. It won't be so much of a feeling. It'll be more of a judgment. See, we have a tendency to look for the feeling, but there's going to be a judgment where people are going to be taken home because they're in the way. And I've seen this happen before. I've seen people taken home because they're in the way. Better to go home than hell. Hello. We are in a specific time right now. There's something I want to talk about. And we might have heard some of these things that have been said that I'm going to share tonight, but I want to bring a little bit in depth of understanding, because it's important that we know times and seasons. And there are signs in the sky that are being manifest. People are not seeing them because they're too caught up with themselves or their life. Would you turn to Psalm 19? Psalm 19. Would you read it with me, the first six verses? Psalm 19. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat or its presence. This is a parallel language of creation and creator. It is a parallel language of creation and creator. It is a language in the heavenlies. Those are known as signs in the sky. These are signs in the sky that God speaks to us. These are parallels where the Creator is actually speaking through us, through his creation. In Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, God who at various times and in various ways, various times in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So if he made the worlds, he also put his language in his creation. Who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged out our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, and he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn, why? Because he is before all things. He was already here before he was here. When he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And all the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail." Again, Jesus was called God by God. In this, we see that in various times, he spoke, and in various ways. In other words, he gave signs as a language. In Hebrews 11, in verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Hebrews 11:3. So that the things that we see were not made by the things seen, because he brought them into existence. Anything he brings into existence has a language attached to it. Do you know that each and every one of us has another language? It is a tune. It is a sound that we resonate. God knows your sound. Everything about you is unique. When I was upstate, we saw snowflakes, gazillions of them. And you could see their form when they touched the window, and everyone was different. And at night, they glittered like bling. And it was smooth, and it was like crystal at night. And it was beautiful. But each snowflake has a specific form, and there's not one of them that is duplicated, not one. It's the same thing with me and you. We're not a bunch of snowflakes, but each one of us has a specific tune, sound, and language symbol that God has created, because we are unique, peculiar, and unique. Amen. So we see here that by faith we understand. One of the things that's lacking is understanding. People who do not have the fear of the Lord and assume, too many people assume things instead of seek things. Then they move on assumption. It's called presumptuous sins. I just assumed. It's a sin. It's presumptuous sin. The Bible says, "Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Ask and you shall receive." Right? But seek the kingdom of God in his righteousness. So in the arena of assumption, it brings a stumbling block to individuals. It moves them out of God's time, and it puts them in a place where they don't understand God's language. When God is trying to speak to them, they miss God. It says, "With this understanding, we understand by faith that the worlds were made by the word of God of the things that are not seen, because he brought them forth." How did he bring them forth? He spoke them. So if he spoke them forth, that means there's a language attached to everything he creates. There's a sound attached to everything he creates. In Colossians chapter 1, I run into many believers that need a tune-up. their sound ain't there. It's not a good rhythm. They need a tune-up big time. It's because of they lack understanding or they lose understanding. See, knowledge without understanding is not truth. So people pile up knowledge but don't have the understanding. Because if they have the understanding, they won't assume. You know how many times people do some stupid stuff? And I'm not going to say, hey, look, we all make mistakes. Amen? But if people are really praying and seeking, they'll find the truth. The problem is because of assumption, they stop short. And they go into assumption instead of getting the answer. And that's a ploy of the enemy. There was something I was going to talk about tonight, but that the Lord changed it all. So I want to throw some of this in there. In Colossians, is everybody there? In chapter 1, glory to God. I know I have it in my Bible. Come on. There you go. In verse 15, it says, he is the image of the what? Invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. So if everything is created through him and for him, that means there's a language and a sound attached to everything he creates. But what the enemy brings forth, they're out of tune. That's why it just doesn't seem right. There's a sense that you get that's just not right. You know when somebody's in tune and out of tune. Hello? There may be somebody next to you singing, and they may sound like a cow. But you can sense that it's not about the sound of their mouth. It's about the sound of their spirit. And you can get near someone that sings real beautiful, but it's disgusting. In verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So again, we see here that he has created all things in him, through him, and for him. That means his name is on everything. His name and his language. In Genesis chapter 1. Signs in the sky. In verse 14. Would you read it with me? Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for what? Signs and seasons. And for days and years. So we see here that these lights in the sky are for signs. Signs, did you ever drive by a sign that didn't have a language on it? Every sign meant something, didn't it? Every sign spoke. A stop sign says stop. Even when a green light, it means go. But we know the sign, don't we? Because we know the language. And so many things that God has brought forth, people don't know the language, so they don't understand the times and seasons and the things that are going on. So we see the lights in the firmament in the heavens. These are signs and seasons. In other words, seasons are associated with events. Events. So God is saying, look, I'm going to speak from the heavenlies, and I'm going to speak to you about events that's going to come, if you're paying attention. In Genesis 9, in Genesis 9:12, let's start at 11. And the Lord spoke to Noah, and he said, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So God set a sign in the sky. What does it say? Covenant. It's promise. I'm not going to kill you with water, but I will kill you with fire. Okay. It's a sign in the sky. Psalm 81. That means your rubber ducky will not rescue you. Psalm 81. Is everybody there in verse 1? Let's speak it. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the what? Trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. Now, I want you to look at something here because there's a correlation. He says, blow the trumpet. Amen. Blow the trumpet on the new moon. No, wait a minute. Not just the new moon. Because the new moon is a full moon. A full moon on our solemn feast day. So there's something that he's speaking about as for a full moon and the feast of the Lord. He's speaking something prophetically of events occurring with, coinciding with full moon and feasts. For this is a statute for Israel. So these events are going to occur according to and happen with Israel. In other words, they will be life-changing, world-changing events that will coincide with full moons and feasts of the Lord. And this he established in Joseph as a testimony. This is a statute, verse 4. This is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. Does everybody understand that? So there will be a correlation between full moon and feasts. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? You see a correlation here? We're getting somewhere. Leviticus 23 and verse 4. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, speak to the children of Israel and tell them about these feasts. And in verse 4 he says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed what? Times. And you can go all the way to 33, but I'm not going to. And there are seven feasts of the Lord. And in these seven feasts, these will be a sign of a time or a sign of events. Now these were given to Israel, but they were still the feasts of the Lord. Why? Because these events would coincide with events that would happen with Israel. Because Israel is the time clock of the world. Amen? Israel will practice these feasts of the Lord and the full moon, and there will be signs in the skies as designated events that will occur. In Isaiah 13. Now let's go to Revelation 12 first. Revelation 12. Signs in the sky. In verse 1 through 6. Let's read it together. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. Revelation 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. Now, in other words, a woman, we're not going to talk about Mary. We're going to talk about Israel. Because we are going to talk about the signs representing right now. Because we know that there's multidimensional meanings. I'm going to talk about the woman being Israel. She was clothed with the sun. In other words, with the presence of God. The sun was shining upon her. With the moon where? Under her feet. So Israel was anointed with the true presence of God. Under her feet, the moon can only reflect what the sun gives. So the sun is the true light. The moon is the false light. Amen? And on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diamond dimples on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, which were angels, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up or raptured to God and his throne. Then a woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Again, the sign of the woman and the moon associated with Israel, amen, and the moon. Again, there will be events that will be going on, and we know that there's going to be things that have already happened, that the powers of darkness have come against Israel. Hasn't that been going on for years? I mean, the Holocaust and everything else. So we see that these signs are in the sky. Israel will practice these feasts of the Lord, and the full moon, and these signs will again designate specific times. In fact, that sign that we just saw right there is a specific time sequence that event happened. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. In verse 9, would you read it with me? Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger. Today lay the land desolate. He will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. He says in verse 11, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. This is known as the day of the Lord, where even the constellations will not give their light. And the constellations are associated with the message of Christ. Remember, everything that God has created has a language. He said that this is, in other words, when we see these things happen, we know that there will be a time when the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. We know that the moon will be darkened, will not cause its light. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not cause its light. In other words, it will become red or blood. It will become a blood moon. In Acts chapter 2. Signs in the skies. Designated events. Now we know that the seven feasts of the Lord, which we just talked about, that will be associated with the full moons. There will be seven feasts of the Lord. There will be certain feasts that will be associated with blood moons, which are full lunar eclipses. And we'll talk about that in a second. Now again, the seven feasts of the Lord. The first one is the Feast of Passover. Then you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then you have the Feast of First Fruits. Then you have the Feast of Pentecost. You have the Feast of Trumpets. You have the Feast of Atonement. Then you have the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus will come and set up Feast of Tabernacle for 1,000 years. We will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Is that happening? Yes. Anyone willing to receive Christ, the spirit is available to them. Okay. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Is that happening? Yes. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now listen, he's speaking about a fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost. He said, after this, this is what's going to happen. So that feast has been fulfilled, hasn't it? Amen. Then he says, I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath. that's associated with earthquakes, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. In other words, he's telling us, listen, you see how this feast is coordinated? Okay, so after this feast, I'll pour out my spirit. Well, there's another feast that are coming that will coordinate with a full blood moon, full lunar eclipse, where things are going to happen. These are events that are coming, designated events that are world-changing events associated with Israel. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So this will happen before he even comes. And then there'll be things that will happen when he comes. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Go to Matthew 24. Glory to God. And verse 29. Immediately after tribulation, the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Hello? The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be what? Shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. In Revelation 6. In verse 12, Revelation 6:12. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Are you getting this? We're getting there. Let's speak this. And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like what? Blood. It's a full lunar eclipse. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth flipped out. And the great men, the rich men, and commanders, and the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves. Do you know that they're digging underground cities now? It's called caves. Thousands of miles of them. They think they're going to escape the wrath of God because they know it's coming. But then I won't. They ain't going to escape my dad. And in the rocks of the mountains, they will hide themselves. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because they know who he is. They thought they could defeat him, but they found out wrong. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Again, a blood moon is a full lunar eclipse. It's when the earth is between the sun and the moon. The earth is between the sun and the moon, making the moon a red color. A solar eclipse is when the moon passes between the earth and the sun. There are four blood moons. When there are four blood moons back to back, it is called a tetrad. When attached to a feast of the Lord, it is called a tetrad. When these four blood moons are back to back, is everybody with me? And they are attached to the feast of the Lord, one of the feasts of the Lord. It's called a tetrad. Israel is affected, and the world history changes every time this occurs. We are approaching a tetrad. This will be the seventh in 2,000 years, and it will be the last tetrad of its kind. Hello. The first full blood moon that will associate with a feast will be April 15th, 2014. This will be the first part of the tetrad full blood moon. And it will be a lunar eclipse, a full lunar eclipse. It will be a red blood moon. And it will be on the, it will fall on the Feast of Passover. Now, something very interesting about this is that Iran has been given 6 months to clean up their nuclear program by the United States and other nations and was granted $7 billion relief. For the next 6 months, well, actually, the 6 months is going to end on April 2014. Something major may occur. The second full blood moon, it will be on October 8th, 2014. It'll be a full lunar eclipse, and it'll be on the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, there's something else that's going to happen, but it won't be a full, it will be actually a solar eclipse, not a, it won't be a lunar eclipse, it will be a solar eclipse. And on March 20th, 2015, it will be the Jewish New Year. So I'm just sharing with you some of these events that are coming. This will be on March 20th, 2015, it will be a solar eclipse, it will be the Jewish New Year. But the third blood moon lunar eclipse will be on April 4th, 2015, and that will be on the Feast of Passover. Then on September 13th, 2015, there will be a partial lunar eclipse, which will be on the Feast of Trumpets. Am I saying that the rapture can be then? It can be. Who knows? Nobody knows the day and time, right? But we're not to ignore these events, these tetrads. This will be the last of its kind. You know, NASA has a sequence that you can go look at, and this is it. September 13, 2015, there'll be a partial lunar eclipse. It'll be on the Feast of Trumpets. And the fourth blood moon and final blood moon that will fulfill the tetrad will be on September 28, 2015. It'll be a full lunar eclipse, and it will be on the Feast of Tabernacles. So we know that some major event is going to occur during this time, whether Israel attacks Iran, what in all of these next couple years that are coming, this year and next year is going to be world-changing events. Now, just to go back a little bit, in 1492, the expulsion of the Jews from Spain was a world-changing moment. The mantle of prosperity that was on Spain when they expelled all the Jews lifted from Spain and was transferred to the United States. Why? Because from Spain, what happened? Christopher Columbus founded the United States. Amen? And that tetrad at that time was from in 1493 to 1494. Another tetrad, remember, tetrad is four moons back to back. Another tetrad, which was in 1949 and through 1950, Israel became a nation. And in another tetrad in 1967 to 68, Jerusalem was captured by Israel in the Six-Day War. So we see that these are previous events that have occurred. Why? Because they all fell on a feast of the Lord. Every one of them. A tetrad is a full lunar eclipse blood moon that is associated with a feast of the Lord. And Luke 12, let's go there. So, if you are not working out your salvation in fear and trembling, I hope you start. Luke 12, verse 54. Then Jesus also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? People pray but don't obey. People assume. They're really not seeking with their heart. They're only using Jesus as Savior instead of surrendering to Him as Lord. In Joel chapter 2, they are under the lust of the world. Joel chapter 2, in verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Chapter 3. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Is that going on right now? Yeah. They have cast lots for my people and have given a boy as a payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations and prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come all of you nations and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens shall ever pass through there again. It will come to pass in that day that the mountains will drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. The fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord, and water of the valley of Achish. Egypt will be a desolation. Does everybody get it? Egypt will be destroyed. Edom, a desolate wilderness, because of the violence against the people of Judah, for they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will acquit them of the guilt of bloodshed, whom I have not acquitted, for the Lord dwells in Zion. And I want to close at Luke 21. Signs in the sky. You can also go deeper with this. You can go on the internet. John Hagee's got a wonderful teaching on all of this too. I want to make it plain and simple. Here it is. Luke 21 and 25. Would you read it with me? 25 to 28. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sun, the sea, and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near. Hallelujah. Signs in the sky. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray that understanding will come forth, that revelation and impartation will be established, and that you will keep us all awake to see, to hear, and to understand, that we may obey according to your will and recognize your voice and how you speak through all things. That as good soldiers, we will not be entangled in the affairs of this world, nor walk in presumptuous sin, nor be misled, but be led by your Spirit. Lord, we commit all things to you, and we ask that you continue to guide us, protect us, and teach us. I pray blessing over each and every one. I pray health and prosperity. And I'm asking tonight that the Lord would open the doors that are of him and shut the doors that are not. That whatever conviction is placed, that obedience would follow. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.